Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be on God's glorious earth. Welcome to Balance Point. Welcome to the third week of 2016. This is our second week in our series on Balance Point Foundations or Balance Point Building Blocks. We pray that you had an enjoyable week over the last 2 weeks practicing, listening to God's voice and hearing God's word. The written word, the word from nature, the word of prophecy. This week, we are going to be looking at the second building block, the building block of worship. Before we begin this building block, let us begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we come before your throne this morning, this evening, this afternoon, wherever we may happen to be on your earth. And we say thank you, Father God. Thank you for bringing us to another week together. We ask, Father God, that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified. Father, as we seek to understand worship this week, and we seek to understand how it fits in with the Word, we ask, Father God, that our hearts would truly find you to be one who is worthy, one who can receive our worship. Father, we pray that you would turn the hearts of men towards you. We pray, Father God, that we as a people would move away from worshiping empty things, worshiping nothingness, worshiping material things that will simply decay and corrode, and would instead worship the one true God. We thank you, Father, for this time in your word and in your presence. Amen and amen and amen. So what is worship? What does it mean to really worship? Many times when we think of worship, we think of maybe singing songs. And it's true, we do worship God in song. In fact, there is an entire book of the Bible that is dedicated to the worship of God through song. And that would be the Psalms. It was a Hebrew hymn book back in the day. Maybe we think of worship as that time that we spend in the building each Sunday and Wednesday or however many days we gather together. And we think of that as worship. And it's true that that's a form of worship. In some churches, it's become recognized that the time of giving, the offering time, is a time of worship. And it is true that giving of our first fruits, giving of the substance of our life, you know, back in the day, in the Old Testament times, and even in the New Testament times, if you were going to give an offering, you gave an offering of the fruit of your land. You gave an offering of the fruit of your herds. Well, we don't have land and herds here to bring to the church, but we give an offering of our life, our livelihood, in the form of tithes, in the form of money. And that too is a form of worship. But what is worship at its most basic? Worship is to ascribe or to place something or someone as being worthy of our adoration, worthy of our respect, worthy of our awe. Worship is literally what we bow our hearts to. To worship is to bow the heart. When we worship something, we are setting aside our self-pride, our self-love. And we are bowing our hearts to a thing that we consider to be greater than ourselves. Now, properly, worship only belongs to our Heavenly Father. And yet, quite often, we find ourselves bowing our hearts to other things. Maybe we bow our hearts to power. Maybe we bow our hearts to prestige in the kind of car that we drive or the kind of home that we live in. Maybe we're bowing our hearts to a person that we put up on a pedestal and they come between us and God. But the proper object of worship is our Heavenly Father. Properly, the only thing that we should bow our hearts to is our Father in heaven through His Son, Jesus. You see, when we are properly worshiping, what has happened is that our human heart comes into alignment with the actions and the plans of God. And our response is, "You're worthy, God." We see that in Exodus chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. This is before the plagues, when God has spoken to Moses and he sent Moses, Aaron, his older brother, to be his helper. And they go before the elders of Israel. Now, at this point, the Israelites have been crying out because they have been in bondage and servitude to the Egyptians. And God has heard their call. And has answered their call by talking to Moses on the backside of the desert. And we pick up with Moses and Aaron coming together with the elders of Israel. Verse 29 of chapter 4 of Exodus. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites. And Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people. What were the signs? He cast his staff on the ground. He became a serpent. And he put his hand into his robe. And when he pulled it out, it was leprous. And then when he did it again, his hand was no longer leprous. And he performed these signs before the people. And the people believed. When they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down. And they worshiped. Worship is the response that we have when we encounter God's grace and His provision. There is a pattern to worship, believe it or not. First, there is a recognized need. We recognize that we are faulty and missing something that we cannot provide, that no human can provide, that cannot be provided in this physical realm, this physical reality. And so we call out. And sometimes we don't understand who we call out to. Sometimes we don't understand how we're calling out, especially those who have never had an open full relationship with God, they just cry out. They're just like, God, if you're out there, whoever you are, whatever you are, help. And God hears. God sends an answer. Maybe he sends the answer through another person, like he did to the Israelites, where he sent Moses and Aaron. Maybe God answers directly by just plucking us out of that situation. There are many stories of people who are about to die in car accidents, and they cry out as they realize that their life is about to be ended. And miraculously, the car misses the embankment, or miraculously, the car goes over the edge but lands upright and lands like in a bunch of soft, fluffy trees. Just weird stuff like that. And so there's a need, there's an answer. And when the answer is recognized, there's belief. There's belief that there is a God who heard the prayer and answered the need. And with belief comes worship. Going, wow, God, you really are worthy. You really are able to deliver. You are able to save. You are able to uplift. So worship is caused by an answer of God to a need. The second thing that will cause worship is the very presence of God. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of being in nature, and maybe you're at the beach and you're just watching the waves come in, and you're just, you know, may you get lucky and you go to the beach and you're kind of like the only one there, and you're just sitting there on the sand, and you know the sun is warming you up, and you're just there, and you're just watching the waves, and you just fall into an awe of how nature works, and you know how the crashing of the waves, or maybe the running of a stream downhill, or maybe you're up in the mountains and you're observing the trees of the forest. I don't know if you've ever, for those of you who aren't from California, we have these trees up in Northern California, giant redwood trees. I mean, these trees are monsters, and they can be hundreds of years old. In fact, some of the trees are so big that they've actually carved tunnels through the trees, and the road goes through the tree. And the amazing thing is in spite of the fact that there is a tunnel going right through the middle of the tree is so big and has such massive roots that it is still alive. And you look at something like a giant redwood, or you look at something like a snow-peaked mountain, or you look across, maybe you're at the top of a hill and you're looking across a lush green forest, and there's a wind blowing, or you're out at night. And in that place of nature, you feel like even though you are the smallest thing, right by you, right next to you, is a presence. And that presence just radiates love, radiates grace. Maybe you've experienced that when you've been in church. It's the presence of God. And we see an example of that, how the presence of God initiates a time of worship. This was the dedication of the temple that Solomon built. And we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we are verses 1 through 3. So they built this temple, and Solomon has prayed this prayer. And in verse 7, we read, When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple because of the glory of the Lord. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good, his love endures forever." I'm a father, and I to this day can remember when both my children were born. I remember looking into the faces of my children on that very first day. I mean, they were literally minutes old, not even hours old, minutes old. I can remember just looking into the face of that newborn baby and going, "The Lord is good. God is good." The presence of God was in that delivery room. The presence of God was in the temple. The presence of God can be found out in nature. And when you find that presence of God, you say, "Wow, God. Wow, God. You're an awesome God. You're a loving God. You're a gracious God." The very presence of God triggers that sense of awe, that sense of wonder. The third place where we worship is when we recognize God's love. And I kind of hit on this with one of my examples earlier. But when you recognize that God is for you, God is not against you. Okay? God is not a God who desires judgment. In fact, God has held off on judgment because he wants as many people as possible to live eternally. God has protected you from things that have almost killed you because he desires a relationship with you eternally, forever. And that's because God is a loving God. And sometimes when we experience the love of God just poured out on us, whether we're believers or whether we aren't believers, there will come a time when you will experience God's love. And when you do, and when your heart is right and you're ready to resonate with it, that love is going to trigger a moment of worship. Psalm. Remember the worship book of the Hebrews, chapter 117, verses 1 through 2. "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us." I want to repeat that. Great is his love towards us. "And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." Great is the love of God. The devil would have you believe that God is in heaven just looking for a reason to bust out his super glide smiting action and take you to task. But that is not God. Yes, God is just. Yes, God is righteous. Yes, God hates sin. But great is the love of God towards sinners. So great that God sent his son Jesus. So great that Jesus, who is God, agreed to come to earth and agreed to die on a cross in our place. So great was the love of God that he did that. Psalm 138, verse 2 talks about God's love. I will bow down toward your holy temple, and I will praise your name for your unfailing love. Your unfailing love. God's love doesn't fail. Do you realize that even if you hate God, God still loves you? Do you realize that even if you're mad at God and you're shaking your fist at heaven, that doesn't cause God's love to fail. That doesn't cause God to love you one whit less. I will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your solemn decree. What was God's solemn decree? That he would send a Savior. That he would send one who would stand in our place. That you would have exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. God so fulfilled his decree of love towards you and towards me. That our calendar is based off of that event. B.C., before Christ. A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Our calendar is based on the event of God's love, of God's supreme act of giving to you and me. And when you think of that, it causes us to go, yes, Lord, you are worthy. You're worthy to receive praise and glory. For your love has covered a multitude of sin. At Balance Point, we worship because of these reasons. And at Balance Point, worship is more than songs that we sing. Balance Point, worship is more than coming to a service or watching a service on video. At Balance Point, we strive that our lives will be lives of worship. When we wake up in the morning, blessings to you, Lord, for giving me this day. As we drive down the road to work or walk to work or however we get to work, as we do our daily work, yes, we work for a company or we work for a college or we work for a government, but we work for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the work that we do to earn the money that we use to live should be an act of worship. If I live, I live to the Lord. If I die, I die unto the Lord. Whether I live or die, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do it unto the Lord, as Paul would say. Everything we do, everything we say should be an act of worship. Why? Because our hearts have been moved into alignment with the heart of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in doing what he promised, the way some people understand slowness. But God is patient with you. Remember, I talked about God's patience. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants everyone to change their ways and stop sinning. When our hearts have been changed to see the grace of God, our response is worship. See, when we have been changed, we no longer worship people, places, things. We no longer worship nothingness. We no longer worship chaos and randomness. No, we worship God, because our heart has been brought into alignment. And as the heart is aligned, so the worship goes. Secondly, at Bounds Point, we worship because we are the carriers of the presence of God. In the Old Testament, they had to turn to the temple. They had to go to the temple. They had to go to the tabernacle. They had to go where the Ark of the Covenant was, because that was a representation of the presence of God. But now, because of the giving of the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God lives in you and lives in me. And so, rather than going to the temple, we are the temple. And so we worship because we are in the presence of God. And the presence of God is in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple that belongs to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit whom you receive from God lives in you, and you don't belong to yourselves. Again, we used to have to go to meet God. If you're a Christ follower, God has come to meet you. And by the way, if you are not a Christ follower, if you have never trusted in Jesus, that Holy Spirit is right near you. Wherever you're at, you don't have to go to a church to get God. No. Because God has come from heaven to get you and to get me. And so when we recognize that God is with us, our very lives become acts of worship. Our very work becomes an act of worship. When we're at the grocery store and we're in the checkout line, that should be an opportunity to worship by being the best that we can be in the name of the one who bought us. See, worship is the difference between being saved and being sold. Jesus can be your Savior and you can choose not to worship Him. Strange as that sounds. But once Jesus becomes your Lord, once Jesus becomes your boss, once Jesus becomes your master, then everything that you do becomes worship. Let me repeat that. It's possible to be saved and yet not live a life of worship. We don't begin to live the life of worship until Jesus moves from being simply Savior to being Master. And when Jesus becomes Master of our lives, then everything that we desire to do, we desire to do to please Him, and so everything we do becomes worship in our lives. So we worship because we carry the presence of God. At Bounds Point, we worship because we know the love of God. See, when you've experienced God's love, when you've experienced His saving power, when you've experienced the cleansing blood of Jesus, you come to recognize that He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of saving us. He is the only one who had the power to snatch us from the pit of the enemy and bring us into the saving love and grace of His presence. Only God had that power. Only God. Ephesians Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. This is our final passage for the day. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. And this is actually a little bit before what we need, but I want this entire passage so you kind of have it in context. I'm asking God to give you a gift from the wealth of his glory. I pray that he would give you inner strength and power through his spirit. Then Christ will live in you through faith. I also pray that love may be the ground into which you sink your roots and have your foundation. This way, with all of God's people, you will be able to understand how wide, long, high, and deep his love is. You will know Christ's love, which goes far beyond any knowledge. Now I'm praying this so that you may be completely filled with God. Now when I picked this passage, I gotta tell you something, because this was just revealed to me as I was reading this to you. When I picked this passage, I picked it because of that very famous verse. This way, with all of God's people, you will understand how wide, long, high, and deep God's love is. We know the love of God. But as I was reading this, I realized that this passage actually summarizes all of the reasons why we worship. We worship as a response to God answering a need. What was the need that we had? We had a need of the love of God. We had a need to be loved simply because we are. And that's how God loves us. And God responded to that love in Christ. That you would know Christ's love, which goes far beyond any knowledge. We have no clue, and we will never have any clue of what Jesus went through on that Passover day. We will never fully understand. Yes, we can understand the medical implications of being crucified. I think we got a pretty good handle on that. I've taught on that several times. You can go back to my old audio and old video on that. We might even be able to wrap our minds around some of the emotions that Jesus had on that day. Because the word says that we do not have a high priest who does not understand who we are, but he has been tempted in all ways like we have been. In other words, Jesus has gone through everything that we have ever gone through. And yet he didn't sin. We might understand the physical, we might understand the mental, the emotional. But there was a transaction that happened under the cover of darkness between the Father and Son. Something during that dark hour, during that dark 3 hours, happened. And we will never fully understand. But it was something that was so wonderful, so glorious, so gracious, that made a way for every single human to be able to come into the presence of God if they so desired. Every single human. So there was a need that was fulfilled. There was a temple that was built. How do I get that from this passage? Verse 19, you will know Christ's love, which goes far beyond any knowledge. I'm praying this so that you may be completely filled with God. God lives in a temple, and that temple is you and me. And last but not least, the presence of God. We at Balance Point are a worshiping people. Not just on Sunday, not just when we gather together, not when we're just listening to studies or sitting and counseling each other. No, we are a worshiping people because of the grace that God showed us through Jesus. Here's the thing. This year at Balance Point, we're seeking deeper intimacy with God, and we're seeking beauty, which comes from experiencing the world as God intended it to be experienced. And I pray that you will come with us on that journey. If you're part of the Balance Point family, praise God. But if you've never trusted Jesus, and this is not about joining Balance Point, this is about experiencing that presence, that love of God, and being filled completely with Him. If you've never trusted Jesus, or maybe you once did and you walked away from Him, I'm going to tell you right now, God's a God of second, third, and fourth chances. And you don't have to climb any mountains. You don't have to do any great deeds. You don't have to do any crazy things. You simply have to believe. If you will believe with your heart that Jesus was risen from the dead, and you will confess with your mouth that you shall be saved. For it's with the heart that one believes, and with the mouth that one makes confession that Jesus is Lord. Let me break that down for you. What does it mean? If you believe, believe is nothing more than trust. If you will just trust, and you know how to trust. If you're sitting on a piece of furniture, you trust that furniture is not going to disappear out from under you and going to land on the floor and go splat. You know how to trust. And by the way, it takes about just about that much trust to trust God for saving you. Word says if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. Mustard seed is pretty small. And believe me, there are a lot of days that my faith is even smaller than that. But yet I have enough faith or belief or trust that God is, and that God desired me enough that He sent His Son to die on my behalf. What's confession? Confession is very simply to say the same thing as. We're going to say the same thing about ourselves that God's already said about us. What has He said? First thing that He said is He loves us. All confession starts with the love of God. Because without the love of God, all you're doing is beating yourself to a bloody pulp. God loves us. Second thing that God says is even though God loves us, we blow it. We make mistakes. The Bible calls those mistakes sin. Sin doesn't necessarily have to be evil. You know, when a lot of people hear sin, they think murder, they think rape, they think robbery. But sin is simply missing the mark, making a mistake, blowing it. Third thing is God says that when we blow it and we're marked by that sin, we can't be in His presence. It isn't that God doesn't want us to be in His presence, it's just that God is so holy that if we were to enter His presence with that sin on us, we would be destroyed. Not because God wants to destroy us, but because simply His holiness would just cause us to just go poof. And so we can't be in His presence. So God says, I'll make a way for you to be in my presence. I will do what you can't do for yourself, and that's clean up your sin and dispose of it. And He does. And He did that by sending His Son Jesus to die on our behalf, to take the punishment for us. And all we have to do to accept, to get the benefit is to simply accept it. It's just like Christmas. You want the benefit of your gift, you accept it and you unwrap it. That's what we're going to do right now. We're going to accept and unwrap the gift of life that God gives us. And we're going to do that by simply praying. What's praying? Praying is simply talking to God. Ain't nothing special there. We're going to just talk to God. So let's do that. If you never trusted him, or you once walked with him and you walked away, we're going to trust him right now. Father God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for being gracious to me. I know that I make mistakes and I know that I fall short, and that keeps me from you. Thank you for making the way for me to come back or to come to you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on my behalf and to take my place. Now, Father, forgive me and cleanse me. Send your Holy Spirit to live in me, that I may live a life pleasing to you. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, we would like to hear from you. And that is as simple as contacting us. If you're watching this on the video or on the post recording, we have some ways for you to contact us. You can email us at staff@balance-point.org. You can contact us on our Facebook page at balance.point.cc. You can contact us through YouTube, Google Plus, at Balance Point Church. If you are on the stream right now, there is actually a card that if you click on that card, we have somebody in our sanctuary who'd be willing to pray with you and give you a bit of counsel on how to get started in this new life. But we want to say welcome, welcome to the family of God. We want to just pray a blessing over you, that the God of all heaven and earth would just keep you and would just guide you into all godliness through his son, Jesus. Amen and amen. If you need prayer, we are a praying church, and getting prayer at Balance Point is as simple as shooting us an email at prayer@balance-point.org. You could even private message us on Facebook or Google Plus. We monitor all of those things and pick up and gather up all the prayer requests. If you want your prayer requests to stay confidential, just within the pastoral staff, just put private or confidential in the subject line for the prayer, and it will just stay within the pastoral staff. If you don't have a church home, you should have a church home. You need a church home. The word says that we should not forsake the gathering together with one another, as some are wont to do. And we gather together in a variety of ways. We gather together in home fellowships. Balance Point is a little bit different as churches go. Many churches, or most churches, you have a large church, it breaks into small groups. Balance Point, we do it just the opposite. We are actually a home-based church, series of home-based churches. And what we do is we gather in home-based churches, and every now and then we come together as a larger congregation. But if you don't have a church home, we would like to invite you to become part of the Balance Point family. And then it's as simple as going to our ministry center at www.balance-point.org, registering with a real email and contact information so we can get in contact with you. And we will get in contact with you, and we'll spend a little bit of time going over who we are, what we are, why we do what we do, and how we do what we do. And if we can come into agreement that this would be a good home for you, we'd be happy to have you as part of the Balance Point family. Also, if you are not comfortable with the idea of, a home-based church, contact us anyway, because we do have contacts in many cities around the world. And we'd be more than happy to help plug you into a good, healthy church wherever you may happen to be. This isn't about growing Balance Point. This is about growing the kingdom of God. If you're listening to this on the audio, we do have live services Sunday mornings at 9:30 in the morning Pacific time. And we meet in the sanctuary at balance-point.churchonline.org. We are live. We do have ministers in the sanctuary. And in fact, we are at a point now where we're looking for some volunteers. We're looking for worship leaders. We're also looking for mature Christians to help us in the prayer ministry. We need greeters. We need everything that a normal church that's in a physical location needs, we need. Because God is growing this ministry and growing what we're doing. And so again, you can contact us at our ministry center at www.balance-point.org, and we'd be happy. Some positions, we do require that you are a member of Balance Point to participate. In some positions, membership is not necessary, but we do want to get to know you before we start putting you into positions, because we want to make sure that you're in the position that is the proper one for how God made you. Not a position just because, hey, we need somebody to usher in the virtual sanctuary. No, we don't do things that way. We want to get to know you, and we want to understand how God has shaped you so that you can derive the benefits from serving. Not just to serve, just to serve, but God has really has special blessings for those who serve him. And we want to make sure that you receive all that God has for you. We do gather live in a variety of locations. And to get information about one of our live locations, just very simply shoot us an email at staff@balance-point.org and tell us that you want to attend a live location. And if we have a location near you, we will get you in contact with that location. And if not, maybe we will discuss with you about possibly becoming one of our hosts. And that is also a way of serving. Whew, what a glorious time we've had in God's Word today. Next week, we are going to be looking at working in power, which is the third building block of Balance Point. But until we come together again, receive the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord of glory bless and keep you in the hollows of his hands as you become conformed to the image of his Son by the power and the ministry of his Holy Spirit. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Blessings until next week when we come together again.